Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. In Starkville and Tupelo, you know where to go. Anywhere else in the state, the country, the world, you can go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and place your order. It'll be delivered right to your door, and you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. You know, I don't know, is Easter really a beef holiday? I don't see why it can't be. I don't see why prime rib wouldn't be delicious on Easter. It's delicious every other day of the week. Why wouldn't it be great on Easter? Whatever you're doing this weekend, make beef the star of the show. If you're cooking out, if you're cooking in, whatever it is, beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white is at College Corner. They've got it all. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. We're in April now. That means May and June are upon us. Mother's Day, Father's Day, don't get caught lacking. Make your purchases now at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, then you need to talk to the people at Priority One Bank. Bankers that treat you with respect, that know you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. How's everybody doing? How do we feel this is going? I would like some feedback. Are we enjoying the solo go, or do I need to find somebody? You let me know, at Brian Haydad. I feel like it's going okay. I'll be totally honest with you. I feel like we've got great interviews. We've got two on today's show. We really mine the Dogs 24/7 talent today because we've got a baseball interview with their baseball correspondent, Olivia Sayer, and then we've got a football preview for the Georgia Bulldogs with Benjamin Wolk, both from Dogs 24/7. So it's a very Georgia feel. We have Georgia on our mind here today on Thunder and Lightning. But baseball is obviously the most important thing. Huge series, all right? You've got three teams on top of the SEC. Georgia, Mississippi State, and Texas. They're all tied at 7-2. Texas is playing South Carolina this weekend. They're going to sweep. Now, let's just call it what it is, right? They're going to sweep the Gamecocks. That's who Georgia played last weekend. Guess what? They swept them. State plays them in 2 weeks. Guess what? I'll predict a sweep. Georgia doesn't play Texas this year, so this is Georgia's real shot to take its best chance of winning the Southeastern Conference. For Mississippi State, if they win this series, you can really, you know, I'm not saying the team or Coach O'Connor, but guys like me, people like you, you can really start to look ahead and you say, okay, they've won this series, right? Tennessee next weekend, they're a little down. They're not what they used to be. South Carolina should sweep that. You get LSU at home. The Tigers have been up and down at best this year. You feel really good about your chances there. Auburn has lost six in a row. Fraudburn, not a great team over there on the Plains. They have really fallen apart ever since that opening weekend in SEC play. Then you're going to play Texas, and that might be to decide who gets the SEC championship and could be the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. So this series coming back where we are now against Georgia, top five series. This is a massive series. I don't think anybody doubts Mississippi State. There's not doubters out there. There may be haters, but there's not doubters. Nobody's watched this team play and has said, I don't know about them. I don't think they're, you know, I think there's questions. If you watch this team play a couple of games, you know what you're seeing, right? You're seeing an elite baseball team, deep. They can pitch. The fielding is good. They're well coached. You know they're going to be a contender, right? This is a weekend where it becomes, okay, Mississippi State, if they win this series, Mississippi State is in the tier, and they may already be there. Maybe I'm underestimating them, but they're right there with UCLA and Texas. The three best teams in the country at that point are UCLA, Texas, Mississippi State. So for me, I look at this series coming up, and one of the things that surprises me about Georgia this year, this is an incredibly good hitting baseball team. All right, they're third in the conference in batting average. They're first in home runs, and they are first in home runs by a really wide margin. When you look at total home runs, they have 87, and Vanderbilt is second with 63. Mississippi State is fifth with 47. Now, State has more doubles and triples, but nobody puts the ball out of the ballpark the way Georgia does. Four of their batters are already in double figures for home runs. What's surprising to me is that Wes Johnson is the coach of this team, known far and wide as an elite pitching coach. He's coached at LSU when they won a national title. Coached here at Mississippi State, obviously. Coached at Arkansas when they were really good. Coached in the majors as a pitching coach. This team's 10th overall in ERA. Teams hitting, you know, not a robust anything, but hitting .233 against them. For comparison, Mississippi State is number one in batting average against in the conference at .205. In terms of strikeouts, Georgia is currently, I hate the way the SEC does this thing, they're fifth, Mississippi State is fourth. So they get a lot of strikeouts, and they don't walk a lot of batters either. I'm sorry, I take that back. They do walk a lot of batters, 119 walks. I was looking at something else, which is about middle of the pack, ninth, I think, eighth or ninth in the conference. I can't do the math here. You just would think a Wes Johnson team would be a little better on the mound than this one is, and I think that's where Mississippi State really has the advantage, is that State has been pitching the ball extremely well since conference play started, and Georgia, quite frankly, has not. Georgia is now part of that is Georgia has had some really weird midweek games. When you look at their midweek schedule, it's just some of it doesn't make sense. They gave up 10 runs to Kennesaw State. They gave up 9 runs to Georgia State just the other day. They were down in that game to Georgia State into the eighth inning. They've lost 2 games this year to Troy. Just 1 game to Troy, but it was 6-5. They've just had some issues in the midweek, and I think that has played into some of their overall pitching stats. When you look at them in conference play, they haven't been that bad. They gave up 7 runs to Tennessee twice, but they did take 2 out of 3 from that series. Against A&M, the first 2 games, they were great. The third game, they gave up 18 runs. So that'll definitely ding your ERA as a team. Last week against South Carolina, 2-1, and then 7 on Sunday. But, 7 runs on a Sunday is not that big a deal. I just would expect more from Wes Johnson's team from a pitching perspective. But they make up for it with the hitting. And the hitting numbers for this team really are something to behold. They're hitting .326 as a team. As I mentioned, 87 home runs already. Daniel Jackson leads them in home runs with 16. Trey Phelps has 12. Colby Branch has 13. Brendan Hudson has 11. They also have 2 other guys with 6 home runs, and a guy, Henry Allen, former Mississippi State commitment, has 9 home runs. They put the ball out of the ballpark. And that's going to be, for Mississippi State, I've always felt, and Robbie talked about this last week when he was still with us, that Justin Parker has always been able to find ways to devise pitching game plans against power-hitting teams to keep the ball in the ballpark. Remember a couple years ago when Georgia had Charlie Condon, and they were also, who was the guy from State? Slade Alford. That was a really good hitting team. State, by and large, kept the bats in check here in Starkville and would have swept that series if not for the dumbest umpire, one of the dumbest, I don't want to say the dumbest because, man, there's a long list, but one of the dumbest umpiring screw-ups ever, to the point where we have a new rule in SEC play called the Hunter Hines rule because of what happened. We all remember what happened there. Vanderbilt is the second best home run hitting team in the conference. Mississippi State held them to 3 home runs on the weekend. They were all in the Sunday series when that game was already out of reach. Ole Miss is the 4th leading home run team in the conference. They had 2 on Friday night, and that was it. So But Justin Parker somehow is a home run hitting team whisperer. He knows how to neutralize those guys, and I'm excited to see what his game plan is this week. State hasn't put out the rotation as of yet, which you would have thought they would have, right? You would think they would do that today. This is Wednesday as I'm recording. You would think that they would just go ahead and have that going, but they don't. But I would expect it to be the same, right? I would expect it to be Foster, and then you're moving everybody up a day. You really don't want to move somebody up 2 days, right? You wouldn't put Valinkas on Thursday this week when he pitched on Saturday of last week. So I would expect it to stay the same, Foster, Valinkas, and Stone. I think State has a big advantage there on the mound. And, you know, both of these teams can hit, but one of them is a much better pitching team. And so, in my opinion, that gives State a big advantage here. I think that's why I would think State's going to win this series. Are they going to sweep? It's difficult to predict that. This is a really good Georgia baseball team. But I do think State's going to win this series, and I think they have a great chance to come out of this being, 9-3 after their first 12? And, you know, they have a great chance to win, I would definitely say, the next two series. Tennessee at home, South Carolina on the road, those are series you should win. Then you've got LSU for Super Bulldog. LSU, you know, it's kind of the same thing with Ole Miss, right, except it's the opposite. You know, I pick State to beat Ole Miss all the time because that's what they do. I pick them to lose to LSU because historically they have, especially here in Starkville. You'll recall State's series win over the Tigers in 2024 was their first series win since like 98 or 2000 something. It had been a long time since Mississippi State had beaten LSU in a series at Duty Noble Field. But, you know, we'll talk about that more when we get there. Let's go to our first interview on the day. I talked earlier to Olivia Sayer. She covers baseball for Dogs 24/7. As you know, all of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. I got to make the trip there. I've been talking about it. I got to get over there and get in that cryotherapy chamber to get these old bones a little rejuvenated. Now, maybe you're somebody who works out a lot. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't work out very much at all. Does not really matter. Recovery and making your body feel better. Honestly, a trip to Allura Modern Wellness might be the spark you need to get to the gym because you've been thinking, hey, I just don't feel, I'm sore, I'm old, I don't feel great. Go to Allura Modern Wellness, let them have some time with you, and maybe you come out of there, you feel like, hey, if I'm going to feel like this, if I feel better, I can get to the gym. It's all about taking those first steps. Maybe your first step needs to be a recovery process at Allura Modern Wellness. Visit them at AlluraModernWellness.com. You can see all of their services right there, or you can book them right there online, or you can call them at 662-268-9255. First of two interviews today, this one with Olivia Sayer of Dogs 24/7. It's a Dogs 24/7 day here on Thunder and Lightning. We're going to talk football a little later with Benjamin Wolk, but right now we're going to talk baseball with Olivia Sayer, who covers they call them the Diamond Dogs over there? They call them that here.
The fans do, but the team doesn't really do that as much.
I feel like that one's taken over here at Mississippi State. So we'll just go with the Georgia Bulldogs. And this is a team that they hit the baseball really well. They're the best defensive team in the conference. Their pitching has been, if they have an Achilles heel, that's what it's been. When you think about this team overall, what stands out the most to you?
I believe the depth of this team is really good. You look on the mound, each guy has had his struggles at one point, but they always have someone else to come and back them up. And that's just a credit to the deep bullpen that Wes built over his first 2 years. Obviously, the team's been really good to make it to an NCAA Super Regional his first year, a regional the second year, both at home. But he felt like the pitching was lacking a little bit, especially down the stretch. He thinks they just ran out of arms. So he's really emphasized building that bullpen. And that's a strength of them this season, especially or as well as the offensive depth. They're hardly going to run out the same 1-9 lineup wise day in and day out. And that's just because they have so many guys that they can slot into those positions.
And that's kind of the same thing here at Mississippi State. The State has a very deep lineup. Do you feel like this Georgia team is starting to figure out who they want to do 1-9 every day? Or could we see three different lineups even this weekend?
I think you could still see three different lineups. It does seem to think that Trey Phillips is kind of slotted into that number one spot. It was Ryan Black earlier in the season. Before that, it was Kenny Ishikawa who got hurt. He fractured his foot. But now they really like Trey in that one slot. And then behind him, most days it's going to be Daniel Jackson, the catcher.
And Jackson is a player I wanted to ask you about in particular. This is a guy who hit 218 a season ago. Now he's hitting 412. He's double-digit home runs, one of four Bulldogs with double-digit home runs. The Georgia leads the SEC by a really wide margin when we're talking about home runs. But Jackson, what a huge season he's having. Is this something that anybody saw coming in the offseason?
I think Wes and Daniel saw it coming because before the start of the year, Wes was asked about him and he said he could be a 2020 player, which at the time may have sounded a little crazy about a catcher, but now it kind of looks like it's underselling what he could do this season. And he just credits that to his time in the Cape Cod League. He played over there during the summer, was one of the all-stars in the league. And he just said that the ability to play every single day and just build that consistency really helped him.
Yeah, it's 16 home runs, 14 stolen bases. I feel like 2020 is going to be a pretty easy task for him. The power on this team is very scary. Has it traveled with them? When they've been on the road, have they been able to hit home runs at the same clip they do at Foley Field?
They have. You look at that Texas A&M series. I don't remember what the final number was, but at one point it was crazy in terms of how much they were out-homering Texas A&M in Texas A&M's home ballpark. So it doesn't really matter. I know that's something that gets talked about a lot with this team, maybe sometimes Tennessee, occasionally Vandy, is the small ballparks or what helped build that power. But this is a team that can really hit home runs anywhere.
When you look at this past weekend with the South Carolina series, you know, those games were probably closer than a lot of people would have thought they were going to be. Did you see anything that gave you any concern about what Georgia did last weekend against a team that I think we can all agree is, if not the worst, the second worst team in the conference?
So I was actually in California with one of my classes this past weekend. So I wasn't there in person, but in terms of watching from afar and then just hearing what other people had to say about it, I think the biggest thing is that, kind of like I mentioned earlier, this bullpen has guys that can go or that can eat a lot of innings. I look at it as almost a starter 1A and 1B. For instance, if Joey Volchko goes out there, maybe he only records an out or two. Then you have Caden Aoki, you have Matt Scott, you have Justin Bird, you have Paul Farley, all these other guys that can come in and almost be that starter despite not being on the mound when the game started.
What would you project as the starting rotation for the Bulldogs this weekend?
Question. We've been wondering, and by we, I mean the media, if obviously Joey Volchko is going to stay on Friday. I think Dylan Biggie is going to stay in that lineup. The wild card is Kenny Ichikawa because the thing about him, I mentioned earlier, he broke his foot earlier in the season. His first start back was against Tennessee. So it's not like they warmed him up with some midweek game. It was almost like, hey, your second start of the season, your first back, and you're facing that lineup. So I'm curious to see if they sort of keep him in that role on Sunday or if they go a different direction.
One thing we like to talk to do on the podcast here is try to find guys that, you know, outside, you talk about who's going to hurt you for Georgia, Phelps, Jackson, those are obviously the top two guys. Somebody deeper in the lineup that Mississippi State needs to keep an eye on this weekend that could deliver a big hit for Georgia.
Yeah, so kind of like I was talking about earlier, there's so much depth within this lineup. And as you mentioned, Phelps and Jackson are definitely the top two to keep that eye on. One guy that's kind of underrated and gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, and I think it's because he's returning from last year's team, and he wasn't necessarily the primary player at any position last year, filled in some outfield, some catcher, some first base, but that is Brennan Hudson. And Hudson really gets on base, and he also has a lot of power. A bunch of his hits are home runs, but he can also slap a double the other way or get on base with a hit by pitch or take a walk. So he's really one batter that I would keep an eye on.
Three teams are tied at the top of the SEC, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Texas. Georgia doesn't play Texas this year, so this is a really big series for the Georgia Bulldogs. If they want to be the SEC champions, they have a chance. I feel like the SEC champion is going to be right there with UCLA at the end of the year in terms of possibly being the number one overall seed in the tournament. Just when you think about this series and what it means for Georgia, it's only week four of conference play, but this feels like the kind of series that could springboard their season even higher than you thought they could.
For sure. And the thing about Georgia is this is a brutal stretch for them when you look at Mississippi State. They host Florida. They go to Arkansas at one point. And so this is going to be the stretch that really proves, I hate to say, are you legit or are you not? Because at the end of the day, it's just one series. And the best thing about baseball is any team can beat any team on any given day. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Mississippi State is one of the top teams, not only in the SEC, but in college baseball in general this season. And so I think this is going to be a really good test for Georgia, especially because they have so many guys that transferred into the program. I believe it was 26 newcomers. Most of those have not played against an SEC team as often as they're doing this year. Most of them, their SEC experience was just one midweek game, maybe 1 to 2 midweek games, maybe a weekend series. And so that's a lot different from what they're getting this year in terms of Georgia's schedule. So I think this is going to be a really big test for them.
Georgia has something in common with every other team in the SEC, except for Mississippi State. They have a weird midweek non-conference loss. They have lost games that they have no business losing, and even on Tuesday were in down late to Georgia State before they pulled a big comeback off. What's the midweek issue for the Georgia Bulldogs?
Well, Wes Johnson said the other day that he just thinks they're not getting up for those. I do understand. I think their energy has been lacking, but at the end of the day, in terms of what the problem is, I think it's just the pitching staff. I think you have all your best pitchers going on the weekends. And not to say the midweek guys aren't great, but there's a reason they're pitching in the midweeks in terms of the weekends. Like, for instance, I think if it's a one-run ball game in the top of the eighth inning, who you have running out there in a midweek is going to be completely different from who you would have running out there in a weekend series. And that's mainly because, and I'm guessing a bunch of other teams do this, Wes Johnson schedules who's going to pitch each inning of the midweek game. Obviously, there's a little bit of room for buffer just in case different situations happen, or maybe one guy's rolling, or maybe one guy's a little off. But that's predetermined, whereas the weekend, they sort of just go with the flow a little bit more and play to win the game instead of play to let these guys get experiences.
Should be an incredible series at Diddy Noble Field this weekend. Expecting big crowds here in Starkville for the Battle of the Bulldogs between Mississippi State and Georgia. Olivia Sayer, Dawgs 24/7. Thank you so much for your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to a great series.
Great stuff from Olivia. Appreciate her as always. This is going to be a good series. I really do feel like we're going to get three good baseball games. I think we're going to get some. You remember 2 weeks ago against Vanderbilt, I was like, all right, should be some high scoring games, and you didn't really get them. This week, I think you will. Now, but Mississippi State's pitching staff, I want to point this out one more time, and I don't know if I did it earlier this week or not, but when you look at State's pitching staff against Vandy specifically, Vandy scored two, and seven, right? And the seven runs were kind of, blasé. They're just, who cares, right? It was 17-7. So they scored 11 runs against Mississippi State. Against LSU, Vandy scored 33 runs. Against Tennessee, they scored 25 runs. They scored 11 runs last night against Belmont. We'll see what they do against Texas A&M this weekend, but Vandy's a good offensive team, and State completely neutralized them, especially the first two games. Ole Miss, I know they have their offensive issues. They have power, and State really neutralized that as well. So I really feel like State's pitching staff gives them the advantage. That's why I'm going to predict State to win this series. All right, let's move into we got to keep these spring football previews going. Let's get back to another one. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. And of course, if you're coming to Starkville, if you're coming to Diddy Noble Field, hit up the concession stand to enjoy the awesome Two Brothers smoked wings. They are the best ballpark food in the Southeastern Conference. 8 wings for $13. Guys, I was at Ole Miss last weekend, all right? A frozen patty cheeseburger and some frozen fries was $17. These are fresh smoked wings, barbecue sauce, good to go for $13. I mean, you can't beat this value. And they're delicious on top of that. If you want to have a great time at the ballpark this weekend, I understand about the peanuts and Cracker Jacks, but maybe we need a change to take me out to the ball game. Like, buy me some smoked wings from Two Brothers. I don't know how we make it rhyme, but we'll figure it out from there. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. And if you are a business owner and you need a new copy or a new printer, new technology, you need to call our friends at Advantage Business Systems. They'll get you taken care of. They'll get you a great deal. And more importantly, they're going to be there for you after the sale. So many times when you are buying something, you just don't know what's going to happen if something goes wrong. You're like, what if this breaks? Who do I call? Oh, you call our call center, 1-800. You're going to be on hold for 45 minutes. And You know, then they'll set up an appointment with one of these out-of-state people, and they'll be here usually a week to 10 days after your first phone call. Who can wait like that? Nobody. You shouldn't have to. That's why Advantage Business Systems takes care of their customers. And that's why, because they're in Mississippi like you, you can see a lot of them the same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co., that's the place to go this weekend. If you're going to be in Starkville for baseball, you want to do some last-minute Easter shopping, Maroon & Co. is the place to do it. Everything maroon and white. Nobody in the city of Starkville, nobody in the Golden Triangle, hell, nobody in the state of Mississippi with a bigger or better selection, a more unique selection of Mississippi State gear than my friends over at Maroon & Co. Use the promo code in-store or online at maroonandco.com. Thunder15 takes 15% off the regular price. You can't beat it. Thunder 15, 15% off at Maroon & Co. If you're coming to Duty Noble this weekend, make sure before you get in, you've been to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. As I sit here recording, I'm a week away from our live remote at Scruggs. Coming up very soon, they're gonna have some great deals available to you at Scruggs for John Deere. I think you should come see us and come take advantage of those great deals. Guys, we are into spring now. The weather is gonna be getting better. You need to make sure you're ready to take care of your yard. A trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden will take you a long way with that. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, home repair projects, working in the yard, the garden, heck, if you're just hunting or fishing, if you're cooking out, whatever it is, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has a product that makes your weekend easier. So come see us. Saltillo, Mississippi is the place. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, where they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, the name to know is Good Hope Land and Timber. My friends at Good Hope Land and Timber have been helping landowners in the state for a long, long time. Now, if you're looking to buy or sell land, they can certainly help you with that. A couple hundred to a couple thousand acres, they can get you in the right spot. But where they really shine is for you if you're already a landowner and you're thinking, how do I manage my land sustainably, profitably? What do I do with all this timber? Good Hope Land and Timber can answer those questions for you. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call to 601-442-9888. I got it. Or you can go to g-hope.com. Find out why Good Hope Land and Timber is locally trusted and landowner approved. Spring preview series. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty happy that Mississippi State's not playing Georgia this year. Kind of got tired of playing Georgia, you know? Let Auburn deal with playing Georgia every year. Let Florida have those problems, all right? We've had enough of the Georgia here at Mississippi State. Enough. So they're off the schedule for a couple years. That works for me. But they're still a team that we're interested in because they're in the SEC. 2 years in a row, knocked out of the college football playoff. Two teams that, you know, were as good as anybody in the country. Didn't make it past that first, you know, that first college football playoff game for them as they had the bye. What are they going to be this year? Let's find out. I talked earlier today, again, from Dogs 24/7 to Benjamin Wolk. Laura Modern Wellness brings you this interview and our spring football preview series. Back on the spring preview series, we're doing the Georgia Bulldogs today. Ben Wolk joins us from Dogs 24/7. And Ben, this is a team that's, you know, back-to-back SEC championships. They get the bye in the playoffs. They've lost two straight in the Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame and then Ole Miss last year. Is it possible to say that this team is, I don't know, overrated, underrated are the right terms here, but they're a great team, but they're lacking something. What are they lacking that gets them over the edge and back into the national championship?
I mean, I think it depends how you look at it, right? Like, if you just look at the end result of each of the last two Sugar Bowls, then yeah, you'll say this team's a disappointment. Maybe the overrated word comes in there. I do think it's tricky when you look back at the last 2 years. I mean, you look back at the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame 2 years ago. They're playing a backup quarterback that's never started a game before, Gunnar Stockton's first start. It's, you know, not to make excuses for Georgia, but it's and obviously Notre Dame had to deal with this as well. But it's a weird circumstance where the game gets delayed 24 hours because of what had happened on Bourbon Street the night before. And so It's just a weird circumstance. Like Kirby Smart's dad, foe, had complications during surgery. Like there was a lot going on in that game where I think when you're looking at the Georgia world, you say, all right, that game is a bit of an outlier when you look at the last 4 or 5 years of the Kirby Smart era. I mean, it was the only game in the last 5 years that Georgia has lost where the opposing quarterback didn't throw for at least 300 yards. Like it was just a weird type of game. Then you go and you look at the Sugar Bowl against Ole Miss. And again, not to make excuses by any means, but it was a team that Georgia had already played earlier in the year and had found a lot of success against Georgia earlier in the year as well. So at that point in the season, one of the only teams that we can say definitively stands a chance going up against Georgia in that game. Trinidad Chambliss plays out of his mind, throws for 370 yards. He was just sensational. So you can look at those games and say, those were individual examples of how an Ole Miss or a Notre Dame found a way against a Georgia team that just doesn't lose very often. I mean, you look back to the 2020 season, Georgia's only lost to three programs in all of college football in that stretch: Alabama, Ole Miss, and Notre Dame. So if you're not one of those programs, there's not some proven we can line up and beat this team. So I think that Georgia still has a lot of confidence there. That said, we know that this Georgia team is not going to have rosters as dominant as 2021 and 2022 were. It's just impossible to construct a roster that way nowadays. And so I think that Georgia does everything the right way. I think that they have a solid roster in place. I think it's just a matter of when you get to the playoff, it is tough to win three or four games. And Georgia needs to find a way to win at least one because they haven't won either of the last 3 seasons. But I don't think that there's anything differently that Georgia needs to do. I mean, I think that Georgia's doing what they need to do to find ways to win in the playoff. They just didn't do it each of the last 2 years.
So you mentioned Stockton, and I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle, especially, if you said who's the best quarterback in the SEC this year, you're going to get Arch Manning, you're going to get Trinidad Chambliss, and I don't think a lot of people would say Stockton, but all this guy has done is produce and win a lot of football games. Is there a next level for him? Can he put himself into that top tier of SEC quarterbacks and
I think
national
he need
quarterbacks for that reason?
yeah, I think that's a fair question, and I think he needs to for Georgia to get to where it wants to be in terms of in-year results. I mean, I look at this Georgia roster and I think that there's a defensive front that is going to be a step above to where it's been. You look at some of these skill players, I think there is more dynamic explosiveness to some of these young receivers than Georgia has had over the last few years, save for maybe Zachariah Branch. And so I really think the key for Georgia to get from being a quarterfinal team each of the last 2 years to being a semifinal team or a national championship competing team, Gunnar Stockton needs to take that next step. And to your point, he does a lot of things right. He's productive. They win. He's as tough of a quarterback as you're going to find across all of college football. Probably the toughest quarterback that Georgia's football program has ever had. And so those things are all great, right? Like those are all positives that you can point to and say, this is what makes Gunnar Stockton special or different. I say this all the time. That's all fine and dandy. And then you still on 3rd and 9, your first two progressions, your first two reads in the progression don't go the way that you want to. You still got to get to that third progression and find a way to pick up that first down. It doesn't matter how much everyone loves you. It doesn't matter how tough you are. None of that matters. It matters, do you have the ability to get to your third and fourth reads in progressions in some of these really difficult SEC games to pick up first downs when you need it? And that's where I think Gunnar Stockton needs to take a next step, and I'll say a year two next step, even though this is his year four in the program, and technically he was playing 3 seasons ago for the end of the SEC championship game and then that Sugar Bowl. But I say for year two, that step that Gunnar Stockton needs to take is getting more comfortable, staying in the pocket on design pass plays and going through his progression, not bailing out, not taking the easy check down. Like he needs to find a way to be that next level of quarterback. And I think he has the ability to do it. We just haven't seen a whole lot of that yet, truth be told. And so I think this Georgia football team is going to be successful because Gunnar Stockton is the type of quarterback that's not going to lose you games. So this Georgia football team is going to win a lot of games. They're going to be competitive for the SEC championship for the 3rd year in a row. They are going to be a playoff caliber team that doesn't automatically position you to be in the playoff, but they're going to be a playoff caliber team. But for them to get to competing for winning the national championship this season, I think that it lies a lot on Gunnar Stockton just being a little bit more sophisticated in the passing game than he was last season for Georgia to be able to get there.
Who's he throwing the ball to? Because this Georgia team is replacing a lot of production at the wide receiver position.
Well, I'll start with you can always count on Georgia tight ends, and whether it be Lawson Lucky, whether it be Elias Williams, whether it be Ethan Barbour, Jaden Riddell, some of the young guys that have generated some buzz throughout the spring, like Caden Prothro, like Lincoln Keys. You can always count on Todd Hartley's group to provide you a little bit of a lifeline as a quarterback at the University of Georgia, because the tight ends are never a position group that you have to worry about whether or not that they're going to be able to be productive. Like you mentioned, though, you're losing Colby Young, you're losing Noah Thomas, you're losing Oscar Delp, you're losing Zachariah Branch, you're losing a lot of these players that have been the focal points of Georgia's perimeter pass game over the last 2 seasons. And you're going to see a lot of new faces. Georgia only went into the transfer portal to get one guy at the wide receiver position. That was Isaiah Kanyon from Georgia Tech. That is a big body, 6'4", 220-pound type that effectively will replace what you had in Colby Young and Noah Thomas, those bigger-framed wide receivers that Georgia likes to play at the X position. But when you look back at Georgia's 2025 recruiting class, you've got CJ Wiley, that's that bigger X body from the state of Georgia. You've got Talon Taylor, that was a five-star wide receiver from the Midwest. You've got some guys that aren't mentioned as much, Thomas Blackshear, Tyler Williams. Like, that 2025 recruiting class for Georgia is going to tell all in terms of how productive this wide receiver group can be. I think that Talon Taylor and CJ Wiley in particular are going to be asked to do a lot alongside Isaiah Kanyon, and then a guy that's just hung around. He transferred a few years ago, but 2 years ago in the Tennessee game, he makes a big play. Last season in the Tennessee game, he makes a big play. And that's wide receiver London Humphreys, previously from Vanderbilt. He's had big moments each of the last 2 years. And sometimes I think older guys get lost a little bit in the shuffle when you're talking about who can be productive. And I think that that's London Humphreys. I think he's going to play the Z wide receiver position for Georgia, and he's going to come up in a big way. Really, the big question is probably how do you replace Zachariah Branch? Because he was Georgia's all-time leading single-season receptions total last season. You're not going to just replace Zachariah Branch, but I think that Zakovy White-Helton is a guy that will be similar to, and he's got to step up in that slot position. If he steps up in the slot position, I think that Georgia will be just fine in terms of how dynamic their receiver options are going to be this season.
Georgia brings back a lot on defense. What questions do you have about the Bulldogs on that side of the ball?
My number one question is probably how do you replace CJ Allen? He was such a leader. He was the signal caller. He was the green dot mic that they use at linebacker to be the one communicating with the Georgia coaching staff pre-snap. They're talented at linebacker. They've got Chris Cole. They've got Justin Williams. They've got Raylan Wilson. Every single one of those guys was a five-star as they were coming through their recruiting process. So they are not short on talent at inside linebacker. I think the bigger question is how the leadership that you got from CJ Allen. You knew that not only CJ Allen was going to be exactly where he needed to be, but everybody on the front end and back end of the defense was going to be exactly where they needed to be. So who is that steps up there? Is that Raylan Wilson that becomes more of that guy, even though he's been part of the rotation for a long, long time? Is that a Chris Cole or a Justin Williams? They have those personality types, I think, but they've never really been asked to do it the way that CJ Allen has been asked to do it. So if we're talking about what questions I have, it is where do you find that defensive leader at linebacker? Because we know that's so important for these Kirby Smart defenses with Glenn Schumann. That's why they have so many Butkus Award winners through the years, because they get so much reliability from that position group. I think they've got the talent there. Where does the leadership come in? And I think that that's still some question that's being answered.
So you mentioned Kanyon, but Georgia is notorious for kind of not using the transfer portal. You don't really need to when you recruit high school the way that they do. So maybe you want to just give me a new starter, but who's a new face that you're keeping an eye on this spring?
Well, I think one you there's last year they brought in three transfer portal safeties, and I don't want to say that they went over three because Zion Branch is still there and he made some plays in the Sugar Bowl and he's been around. But if we're being real about it, he was very much a take because of his brother being Zachariah Branch, and they needed that. And
Right.
so you could make the case that Georgia went over three in the safety transfer portal last year. And so this cycle, they came back around and they've still felt that they needed to get a reliable veteran that could play star. They needed a reliable veteran that they felt could be that deep safety alongside KJ Bolden. And they brought in two guys. They brought in Khalil Barnes out of Clemson, who has received rave reviews early in spring so far. I think he's someone that's cross-trained both at safety but also at star. And I think that there's a really good chance that he's Georgia's starting star come week one. Now, that hasn't been determined yet because there's a lot of moving pieces, guys playing both positions, safety and star, to figure out who fits in best where. But Khalil Barnes at star, I think, is a key piece. And then someone who has been dealing with an injury recovery coming from East Carolina, Jamarlee Riddle, he was brought in, I believe, to be Georgia's starting safety alongside KJ Bolden. It becomes interesting when he hasn't really been able to do a whole lot physically so far this spring, but I think they're trying to get him acclimated to the Georgia way and what it's like to make play calls from the back end and those types of things. Like, they're trying to get him as much comfortability with the Georgia experience as they can this spring, but he just hasn't been able to do a whole lot because of that injury recovery. And so those two guys, I think it is mission critical for Georgia for Khalil Barnes to be the starting safety or the starting star, and for Jamarlee Riddle to get back healthy and be the starting safety alongside KJ Bolden. If both of those things play out, I think Georgia will feel really good about its transfer portal haul as well as what they are providing on the back end of the defense this season.
All right, last question is the same for everybody who's doing these previews. November 28th, Georgia Tech comes to Sanford Stadium. Technically, the third straight home game in this series for the Georgia Bulldogs after Georgia Tech stupidly moved that game to the to Atlanta last year. I'm sorry, to the Mercedes-Benz Dome. What am I saying about Georgia after that game? Are we talking about back in the playoffs, a favorite to win a national championship, or what?
Oof, Brian, that is a good question. I mean, Georgia has the team this year to be playing for a third, well, be playing for a fourth straight SEC championship, but I think a realistic chance to, well, I guess it'd be playing for a sixth straight SEC championship, but it would be a chance to win three of the last four. Like, I really am bullish on what this defensive front is going to be this season. Pass rush was a big area of concern for Georgia last season. I think that they are going to rectify that year over year. I don't have many concerns about what Georgia is going to be able to do productivity wise on offense. I mean, I think Georgia offenses, by and large, are what Georgia offenses are. They're going to run the ball as well as anyone. Gunnar Stockton's not going to make mistakes. So I think they will be in position to be playing in Atlanta and playing for another playoff. What's interesting to me is, like I mentioned earlier in this interview, like, they've lost to three programs in all of college football over the last five, six seasons: Notre Dame, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Well, they've got to go on the road and play at Ole Miss and at Alabama this season. And I know there might be questions about what Kalen DeBoer Alabama is going to look like this season. There might be questions about what does Pete Golding Ole Miss look like this season. But those are still two of the only programs in college football that have been able to line up toe to toe with Georgia and win football games, and multiple football games, I should say. I mean, Ole Miss has won two of the last 3 years. Alabama has won each of the last 3 years against Georgia. And so you're not guaranteed, just because you've got a good roster and you do have back-to-back SEC championships, you're not guaranteed to just go on the road and beat Ole Miss. You're not guaranteed to just go on the road and beat Alabama. So I do think Georgia will be back in Atlanta. I think that they'll find a way to win one of those games on the road and then clean the slate the rest of the way. But if we're looking up and Georgia's a 10-win team that missed out on Atlanta, that would not surprise me in the slightest, though I do think a 10-2 Georgia probably gets into the playoff either way.
Would absolutely still be in the playoff. Not on the Mississippi State schedule. I was kind of getting used to playing Georgia every season, but not this year. Ben Wolk, Dogs 24/7, man. Really appreciate your time. Great stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Thanks to Ben. Appreciate him. We will be talking about Arkansas tomorrow, but more importantly, we will be talking about Mississippi State's game one results against the Georgia Bulldogs. So a little late night for me. That's not a problem. We'll have a podcast up as quickly as I can after the game, and we will get you going for Mississippi State, Georgia, game one, as this is a massive series for both sets of Bulldogs coming up this weekend. All right, I will talk to you guys tomorrow after the game. Until then, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Yes.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.